Joined by the winner of Stage 1 and Stage 2 today, driver of the number 42 DC Solar Chevrolet, that's Ross Chastain. We'll go ahead and open up the floor for questions for Ross. If you have a question, please raise your hand. We'll start with Jerry, and then go to Jacob, and then to Bob.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net, PRN. On that incident with Harvick out there, can you take us through what was going through your mind, what you saw? Because when Harvick ran, you know, didn't want to talk to the rest of us out of the media court and said basically that you got into his door and he put it all on you.
And I'm just, I'm going to try not to be too negative on myself. I get that rap a lot. So it's like this opportunity, man, is like once in a lifetime. And everybody at Chip Ganassi Racing and Jeff and Paulette Karpoff at DC Solar for opening this door for me. It has been incredible the last 2 weeks to get up to speed with CGR and try to use all the pieces to their puzzle to go fast in their race car. And struggling through second practice yesterday, but then coming out today, with my crew just basically telling me just go drive, just quit trying to think about everything every lap. And we did that today. I just drove the race car and took what it would give me. We were too free there that final run. We were up front. And those guys closed back up, and they kept rolling the bottom. But as long as I ran the high side, I could keep clearing them. And he did have a better one and two there. And I haven't seen the tape. I saw a clip of it just a second ago, but not the whole deal. So, I mean, there's a lap car. There's a lot going on, and I am trying to learn, right? So I'd never been in that situation, but I trust the guys I'm racing around to give me a car width. That's all I asked for, is exactly fender to fender, left and right, and we just ran out of room there.
We're going to go next to Jacob, then to Bob, then to Pete, then to Kenny.
Jacob Seelman, Speed Sport Magazine. Ross, not that it's the result in the box score that you want at the end of the day, but do you feel like you proved you belong against those guys you were racing against this afternoon? And you mentioned learning. How much do you feel like you learned through the first two-thirds of this race?
I mean, I probably learned more in practice, honestly, doing the wrong things, and then just having Josh Wise and Shiplett, my crew chief, just keep reminding me, Nick Harvey, just trust the car. So that's where I learned the most. The 42 car is notorious for running the wall, and I wasn't doing that. I still couldn't get all of it, but just felt like I could maintain my speed up there better, and then was putting that, what I learned yesterday, into use in the race today. Wish I could have hustled the car a little more, nobody belongs here. Like, we're all very fortunate, and there's a greater path and greater plan for all this. But just to get this opportunity and just to be one of the 40 guys out here and have a shot to win is, no matter what, I'll never forget this. I'll never forget the peaks and valleys of this weekend. Ending final practice pretty dejected. And then my guys, like I said earlier, just reminded me, just drive the car, and coming out today, going round for round with these guys and qualifying, and going restart for restart with Brad, Kevin, everybody that was up there, just going through those processes is something that not many people get the chance to do, and that I was able to execute on a lot of them. And I made one mistake on a restart, and Kevin got by me. Very next restart, I was able to get back by him. So something I really will never forget.
Bob?
Bob Hockrist, ESPN. Kevin said that he indicated that because you hooked him at the end, there'll be a reason why you won't get more opportunities like this. I'm curious if you felt like you did enough to get more opportunities like this.
I don't think I did enough to get this opportunity, and I'm down on myself a lot, but I mean, I've said it time and time again, nobody deserves this. There's less people get this opportunity that I did for these couple of races, and have a car like we had this weekend. Like, more people win the lottery than get this opportunity, so it's we're kind of in a bubble with all of us where we see guys in fast cars all the time, but to have somebody like myself, just some watermelon farmer from Florida that started racing when he was 13 because my dad just wanted to go have fun, and literally sitting on 2x4s in my race seat so I could see over the dash and just having fun with it, and then all the cards falling and everything to get to this point and to be running my first Southern 500 tomorrow with Premium Motorsports and have 4 years, of time in the four car with Johnny Davis and Gary Keller is, man, if it all ended today and I had to go back to the farm, I would have no regrets about anything that we've done. There's a lot of things I could have done better in my life, like getting to this point, but we've gotten here somehow, and I'm just thankful, man. It's crazy. Like, yeah, there's negativity around this, but I just really hope that people smile. Like, there was somebody different up there racing with those guys. Just smile about that, if nothing else. Once we hit the wall, man, I was out of control. I just out of control.
We'll go to Pete, then to Kenny, then to Jim.
Pete Iacobelli, Associated Press. Ross, I know your mind's probably going faster than your car was out there at the moment, but it is Kevin Harvick. He is a pretty imposing personality in NASCAR. Do you now think I'm going to go seek him out and try and talk to him about this and maybe smooth things over, or maybe just explain myself a little bit in this situation?
Right. I don't know what to do. I've never been in this situation with somebody like this that, you know, grew up watching, now I've raced against for a couple of years, hit or miss, never really race head to head with him like this, and have so much respect for the guy and what he's done. And he came from humble beginnings too, and you know, hear some of the things he's saying without, I mean, I guess he knows of me. He doesn't know me. And, we pass each other and try to say hey to him and stuff. And it's usually, I get it. He's busy. Like you said, he's a very large figure in the sport. So, I don't know what to do. Rely on everybody. I have my team around me to guide me on what to do. I don't know when we'll talk. We will one day, right? Everybody talks at some point. But I don't think right this moment is the right time. But just rely on the team around me to kind of guide me, and we'll come up with a plan and keep moving forward.
Go to Kenny, then Jim.
Kenny Bruce with KennyBruce.net. You know he parked in your pit stall, right?
They did say something, yeah.
Let me ask you this. You talked about the crew telling you, trust the car all weekend. How much of the whole weekend experience for you was you doing what the car would allow, and how much of it was the car letting you do what you normally do when you drive?
Right. Yeah, and I just had to take what the car would let me have. I mean, and roll in the top. There was so much more to gain there in practice that I wasn't getting, and there was still more in the race. But I was just trying to manage it to not pound the fence down until it was really time to go. The clean air was king. Obviously, we saw that whoever got out front was better. You know, I got behind Kevin there. That restart, he beat me early, and I couldn't do anything with him. I just rode behind him, and caution came out. Brad pushed me on the restart, but I would get back by him, then I could pull away from him. So it was like, wow, that is so cool. Like I'm going head-to-head with these guys. Like, if I have the right situation, we're racing with them. And, it's very, very humbling, honestly. Like just to now be here and think about what all did go on, is I can start to breathe, and it's really cool.
Yeah, not the bound point where you were before, but getting in that car, what was the difference?
Man, it drove the same. So after first practice, I walked by my guys on the four car, and they were in tech. So I left them a note on their notebook that the four car drives just like the 42 car. There's just a speed difference. So our tight loose, our sliding, the stuff we do with the car, it's all the same. It's just the infrastructure at CGR is incredible. DC Solar, Jeff and Paulette Karpoff, the support they're giving to guys like me and Kyle and Jamie. It is truly once in a lifetime to meet somebody like that. So, we'll be back in the four car next weekend, ready to go at Indy with our high drag, whatever package. Ran pretty good there last year, and just all eyes on that after I get to run my first Southern 500 tomorrow. That is really cool to say.
We'll go next to Jim, then to Zach, and the gentleman over there in the middle.
Jim Mutter, Motorsport.com. I think it's fair to say people think you've been a little hard on yourself during the race, particularly the people on your team. I forget who it was after the end of the second stage said, I'll tell you one thing, he listens. I just wondered what you felt like. You haven't had a lot of time to get adjusted to the guys that you were working with, but what has been their response in welcoming you to that team and in working with them today?
It's been incredible, man. When they first told me about this opportunity, I was worried that they would think I was just a kid coming in, and it wasn't the case. Like, I walked in the first day, and so some of the four cars that I drive are actually old 42 cars. We buy cars from them as they cycle them out. And we have kind of, our guys have been up there to pick up cars and stuff, and I'd never been there with them, but their director of their Xfinity program, Nick Harvey, has been week to week just asks us what we think of our cars, when we're racing in the four car all year, and just kind of any advice he can give us. There's no setups or anything, but there's just, yes, that's right, no, that's wrong, don't do that. So he guided me around the shop, and every question I had, because I had a ton of them, and finally they kind of were like, quit thinking so much, especially when we get to the track. And that's what I had to keep working on, was just letting the car do it once I got in it. And practice is where I struggled. But he just guided me to every person that would have the answer for my question, because he didn't have them all. And Mike Shiplett, my crew chief, he would guide me over here. And they just plugged me in full bore for 2 weeks. And I just tried to get up to speed with Josh Wise and everybody as quick as I could. And, be there one of the first days I was there, Max Jones came back when I was back with Josh working on some stuff. And he came to introduce himself and just wished me luck. He just said, go do your thing, and everything else take care of itself. So, obviously, made mistakes in practice. I made mistakes in qualifying. Like, that last round, I thought I gave our lap away through 3 and 4, but made mistakes in the race. It's just trying to get up to speed with these guys, but they gave me all the pieces of the puzzle that I needed.
Zach Catan's ready, kickingthetires.net. I'll see a lot of small teams in the Xfinity Series, a lot of them that have been around for a long time. When it came to when this was announced for you and maybe today at the racetrack, what was the response from the fellow small teams?
More high fives than I've ever had. I've had deals where I race people hard, and so a lot of drivers that we race every week, like, that's the problem with going 33 races a year, you're going to race with your group. They're not always exactly happy with me, but, man, I got more high fives from that, from our group of racers that are back there, and we're racing, 12th to 18th in an Xfinity race is incredible, to be a part of, and, to just be back there racing. And what was kind of surreal, I didn't realize this, but it's the same way up front with those guys. And, Brad got by me one time, tried to do a slide job into 3 and jumped up, hit the fence, and I was able to cross over on him and get back right back by him. And I was like, wow, this is exactly how we race in the back, but nobody's ever watching that. So, yeah, it's a lot of high fives from everybody I race around, and Johnny Davis and Gary Keller for allowing me to do this. There's a lot of respect amongst all of us, and, to have a handshake agreement with Johnny and Jay on the Cup side is really what makes our programs, I think, work better than having some 40-page contract that everybody's always nervous about.
Mike Massey with Front Stretch. First off, have you heard anything from Chip Ganassi yet after today's race? And second, I noticed early in the race your team, Mike Shiplett and the guys were kind of in your spotter, were kind of coaching you up on the little intricacies of being a leader that you haven't really experienced before. Could you talk a little about that?
It was incredible. I haven't got my phone, so I haven't checked anything and probably won't tonight, honestly. Yeah, it was Derek up on the spotter stand. He feeds so much information, and that's what I like. I like a lot of chatter, and they were just pumping me up the whole time, just be confident in the car, just drive it. And so, yeah, just working up to the fence, it's back and forth on restarts, what we thought. We just worked really well together to be in that high-pressure situation. They made it seem like it was nothing, and that's really calming as a driver, and that's exactly what I needed.
Go to the gentleman in the black, and we'll wrap up with Chris.
James Jackson, ESPN Albuquerque, and the New Mexico Motorsports Report. Ross, how can you take what you learned from this weekend and put all this behind you and move forward to the next two races you have with Chip Ganassi Racing?
Yeah, well, it'll all start next weekend at Indy. Apply it in the four car and see what we got there, and just keep plugging myself into all three race teams I'm running for. On a consistent basis, and maybe sprinkling some truck races here in the future, but definitely obviously you don't forget stuff you learn. If I can remember it all, it was a lot to take in this weekend and then the 2 weeks leading up. Just try to apply it, even just beyond racing. We're all in this bubble of NASCAR, but beyond all that, the way things are handled at CGR is something that I'll take into life after racing, and hopefully a long time. Hopefully I'm here a while, but when when all this is done, I'm back growing watermelons because that's what we're going to be doing. We'll be applying stuff that I learned, you know, just small things there too.
Chris?
ChrisMankEdgeFence.com. Ross, with everything that happened this weekend from yesterday to today, what's the thing that you want the fans and those that look up to you to know about this weekend?
Well, first of all, like, this is a testament that, I started out, late in racing, asphalt, local short track, just no ambitions of this. And it just all, if you can keep racing, it can happen. Like, there's a lot of things have to go your way, and it's not fair. Life's not fair, but, man, it's so cool. And I feel like y'all all will think the same thing in this room, right? We're all fortunate to be here, and we should probably think about, and I need to think about that more, and everybody should too. At the end of it, I'll be able to drive back to Charlotte and drive to Indy this week. And granted, it's not the greatest end, but I got a lot to smile about. So I'll definitely be I'm driving up all the way out there. That'll be something. There'll be a lot to think about for sure.
Ross, thanks for taking the time to join us. Good luck tomorrow in the Bojangles Southern 500.
Thank y'all.